God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today's the third day of July, 2011, and you're listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Today's sermon is taught by our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, and it is entitled, Our Liberty in Christ. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you're listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening, and happy 4th of July holiday.
Amen. Of course, July 4th, Independence Day, excellent day for us as we celebrate our wonderful independence. And for me, I always think also of not only our nation and the great nation that we live in, but also of our spiritual independence that we have in Jesus Christ. And because of that, it's been several years. I've read to you before, but a while back I picked up a little thing somebody had written. Actually, I don't know who the author is. It's unknown. But it's called I Am a Soldier. It deals with a Christian soldier. And I thought I'd read that to you during our worship time here and just remind us who we are. It says, I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire from this army at the rapture or die in this army, but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. If he needs me to teach children in Sunday school, to work with youth, help adults, or just sit and learn, he can use me because I am there. I am a soldier. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I like this. I am not a wimp. Amen to that. I am in place saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I don't need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I refuse to have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I refuse to be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I will not lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. And if I end up with nothing, I will still break even. I will win. My God shall supply all my needs. For I am more than a conqueror. I will eventually triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People will not delusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sicknesses cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For my commander calls me from this battlefield, he'll promote me to captain and bring me back to rule with him. I am a soldier in God's army. I will never surrender to the enemy. I will never turn back. I am a soldier marching heavenward, claiming victory as I go. You know, I thought about that and I said, I hope that's everyone's battle cry. We are a soldier for Jesus Christ. And I think when we look at it that way, it helps us to go forward. Amen. It really does. And so if that's not your commitment, maybe today you'd say, you know what? There's some things mentioned there. I need to change. I need to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. I appreciate our men and women who go off to war for us. And we often forget about the trials and tribulations that they face. Being out there in the desert where it's hot, hotter than it's been in Oklahoma. And they've got these heavy backpacks and they're out there camped out, trying to protect us and fight terrorism. And like I said, they go through all these struggles and trials and tribulation. And you know what? I thank God that they do. And I thought about that and I said, you know what? We as soldiers of the cross, we should do no less for our God and King as well. We should be willing to serve him through all the difficult times and go forward as a soldier. So praise the Lord for that. Let's pray as we just ask the Lord to bless today and keep our minds in the right place as we study. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for your word. We thank you for each and every day you give us, Lord, to serve you. May we never forget, Lord, not only the men and women who have given their lives to give us freedom to live in this wonderful country, but also may we never forget what you have done and many believers before us who have laid down their lives that the gospel might have freedom to be preached. And today, Lord, may we remember our freedom. May we not lose the importance of our freedom, Lord, whether it be in our nation or in the gospel. May we go forward for you as a strong soldier, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Inside the trenches, men scarred on the front line, this armor's seen some testing, and my courage has been tried. But regardless of the battle, or how fierce the enemy, I never have to leave my knees to claim the victory. I'm a soldier winning battles by fighting on my knees. My captain is the author of this master strategy. Though the arrows fly around me, I will not face defeat. I'm a soldier winning battles by fighting on my knees. I've been down in the bloodstains, in the shadow of the cross, and I'll boldly fight for freedom and the honor of my God. Jesus is my captain, and I'll join the proud, the few. All of hell may come against me, but I will not be moved, 'cause I'm a soldier winning battles, and I'm fighting on my knees. Oh, my captain is the author of this master strategy. Though the arrows fly around me, I will not face defeat. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities. The powers of darkness cannot harm a warrior on his knees. And I'm a soldier winning battles, and I'm fighting on my knees. Oh, my captain is the author of this master strategy. Though the arrows fly around me, I will not face defeat. I'm a soldier winning battles by fighting on my knees. My knees.
Galatians chapter 5, as we take a look at liberty today and the importance of it. Great book on this. Galatians 5, if I can find my little tassel here. Amen. Let's begin reading in verse 1 as we take a look. Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, saying to you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? For the Bible says, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for the liberty that you have given us. Liberty that we get from the cross, from your death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, thank you for it now. And I pray that you'd help us as we go forward to be reminded of this great truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Can be seated. I guess every year is a great time to stop and think about this, but really just the freedom that we have in Christ is a wonderful thing. I don't know that we often think about how free we are as Americans. So I kind of thought about this week, wrote down a few things. I remember when Brother Thompson, who we just helped build a church, came. He explained they had a caste system. I don't know if you remember that. But you're born at different levels. And so they had these different levels of caste system. And one of the things he mentioned was you could never change your caste. In other words, it doesn't matter what you became. If you were from that caste system, you'd always be looked, if you came from the lower caste, you'd always be looked down upon and discriminated against because that's how you were born. No way to change it. Aren't you glad you live in America where that doesn't matter? It doesn't matter your race, your nationality, really. I know everybody has complaints on different levels, but I guess I get tired of it because we live in America. You can be what you want to be. You can fight through any situation. And if you want to progress to owning a company, starting your own company, you can do that. It doesn't matter where you've been born. Poor, rich, important family, non-important. Those things don't matter in America. Oh, I know some have better advantages than others, but at least everyone has advantages living in America. And I thought about that and said, praise God, we don't live in India. And then I also thought and I said, remember, I read to you also a couple months ago, 52 countries either fully or partially banned the Word of God. Aren't you glad, even with all the religious attack in America, you know what I'm glad? I was able to pick up my Bible and read it this week anytime I wanted. I was able to openly carry it into this building and nobody stopped me. I could do that. Why? We live in a free America. Folks, you ought to thank God for the freedom we have in America. And then I was watching the news probably about a week ago, and the princess of Saudi Arabia, Princess Amira Al-Terwil, said she's fighting for the rights of women in Saudi Arabia. You don't want to know what her main fight is? That women are allowed to drive. And I thought about that and said, you know what? Maybe we should go back to Saudi Arabia. You know what I'm saying? Maybe. No, okay, I'm sorry. They have a point. But anyways, I laughed because I thought, seriously, I never knew that. I thought, seriously, women can't drive in Saudi Arabia? That blew my mind. I mean, here we are, 2011, they're fighting to have driving rights. And I thought, this is silly. Well, that's how they live. And yet we have every day, what, 16 years old, anybody can get a driver's license, men, women, children, doesn't matter. No matter how good they are or bad, they can drive. That's just the way it is. It's a freedom we have in America. We look at all these freedoms, and I say, I'm glad I live in America. But let's just be honest. With all the freedoms also comes some negative. You know, in America, pornography is now a multi-billion dollar industry. As wonderful it is to live here, we also have the negative that you can get involved in things that aren't good for us. Drinking and driving. You realize more people are killed in America because you are allowed to drink, you're allowed to consume alcohol. More people are killed that way than in our wars in Afghanistan and Iraq together. Are you aware of that? We lose more people who have the freedom to say, I can partake of something that will kill me because why? It's free. It's a freedom. Did you pay attention just this last week? New York became the sixth state to go ahead and allow gay marriages. And we're saying what? Under the bounds of freedom. Under the banner of freedom, they're saying, hey, they have to have rights as well. So in other words, freedom's a good thing, but can it be used wrong? I dare say it can. So although it's good, and I'm glad we have freedom, and I don't really want to be in a state or country that limits my freedoms, at the same time, we must remember something. With great freedom comes great responsibility. The fact of the matter is the more freedom you have, the more responsibility you have to control that freedom. And when it is not controlled properly, it will injure you. Matter of fact, the great nations that fell, like Rome. Rome was never destroyed from without, folks. Rome was destroyed from within. This great empower, the most powerful army on the face of the earth, was never captured, wasn't taken over. It began to disintegrate a piece at a time because of themselves. Why? With all their freedom, with all their power, they did not control themselves. The reality is we must come to a point of realizing that we have great freedom. But wait a minute. That's a nation, but what about us Christians? See, the whole story here is Paul's talking to the Jews who have been set free through the power of Jesus Christ and through grace. And now they don't have to live by the old system of the law and all the details therein. And now they're free in Christ to live and breathe and serve and worship the way God has set forth.
and not by these works that the Jews set and all these over 600 laws that they set up. Now they can just freely worship God without being under bondage. And yet in Galatians chapter 5, he says, hey, why are you going back? And he particularly picked one thing. They were getting all caught up with this thing called circumcision. And everyone that got saved, they were saying the men must be circumcised. If not, they're not right with God. And it was a contention. It was like they judged your Christianity by that one event. And Paul said, stop it. Stop it. We don't judge each other's Christianity by one act, one service. No, it's not about an outward act anymore. Are you ready? It's about an inward heart. Can I tell you the ones who make it in Christianity? It's not about all the outward things we do. It's that you have a heart right with God. The whole neat thing about grace is this. I have the freedom to worship God. Yes, within the bounds of Scripture. I still don't have the freedom to worship him any way I want, by the way. You say, well, I thought we had freedom. We do, but that's called a misuse of freedom. The fact of the matter is God tells us how to worship him in spirit and in truth. He gives us boundaries how and when and where to worship him. He tells us how that's to take place. We don't tell him. And although we have great freedoms, we still must follow thus saith the word of God. So this morning as we look at it, and as I think about the great freedoms we have in Christ to worship, to serve, to love, and not to judge one another according to specific rules and laws, I thought in that though, how often do we use that liberty and it become more of a pitfall to us than it does a blessing? How often do we misuse liberty? I like to start at the back of the chapter here and work our way back to the front. So we're going to start in verses 13 through 15 this morning. We'll come back to the beginning this afternoon. But would you take a look at verse 13? As Paul is talking about this liberty and giving an illustration in verses 1 through 12, verse 13, he says this as he summarizes, "For brethren, you've been called into liberty." Now look at this. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." In other words, the whole argument of Paul is this. There's a danger. There's a pitfall that with all this liberty, we would actually misuse liberty. And let me illustrate. Since 1776, you know, America has fought for freedom. We have fought against tyrants. We fought against nations. Particularly, one of the biggest fights has been against communism. And by the way, in case you're not aware of it, we hate communism. The whole system is wicked, okay? It is not a good system. We have fought it for years. We have fought that we would never become communistic. All the wars, all the fights, all the World War I, World War II, the Cold War, all that took place so that Germany, Japan, Russia, these domineering, tyrannical nations would not come over and take us over. We spilled our blood and gave the lives of our men and women. Why? To have our freedom as a democracy. Is that not true? Can I tell you one of the greatest disgraces that could take place? Could you imagine if America ever became communistic? Oh, I don't know about you, but it's hard to even say that. No, seriously, I could not imagine one day wake up and find out we are now communistic America. You say, why is that so bad, preacher? Well, unless you've been falsely indoctrinated in some book or something, let me help you. It would be a waste of over 200 years of death of our men and women. You said, why? They died so that we would be free, not so that we'd be controlled by some really religion, in case you're not aware of that, but we'd not be controlled by communists and their philosophy. They paid the price for freedom. It would be a total disgrace to wake up in America to change from a free nation to a nation of bondage. Oh, you bet it would. Well, folks, what's the difference in Christianity? What's the difference for us to have this freedom in Christ, to live, to serve, to love, to do everything we can for God, but to misuse that freedom and to actually fall into things that God says he does not want for us? Well, you say, like what, preacher? Well, take a look at verse 13. He says, "For brethren, you've been called into liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh." Turn with me to the book of Peter, if you would, real quick. Book of Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. Peter addresses this as well. One of the pitfalls of liberty is that we do have the freedom to do what we want. But the danger of that is we can misuse it. In verse 19, he says, "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped," now look at this, "the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now stop right there for just a second. After they have escaped the pollutions of this world, after they have escaped what? The corruption, the bondage. Do you remember that before you got saved, can I remind you, you were in bondage? Yeah, in case you've forgotten, before you got saved, Your sin, the Bible says, when sin is finished, brings forth death. The ultimate end of death is a place called hell. And without Jesus Christ, every single person that was born was bound for a place called hell. You were in corruption. You thought evil. I know it may surprise you, but I don't like sin, and you shouldn't like sin either. But I'm not surprised at sin. You say, what do you mean? When someone doesn't know Jesus, and we're witnessing to them, I'm not surprised. I've been in homes, and while I'm trying to talk to them, they're drinking a can of beer. You know, they'll be cussing. They'll be doing different things. You say, doesn't that bother you, preacher? Wait a minute. I'm not for it, but I understand it. Why? They don't know Jesus. I hear stories, immorality, ungodliness, stealing, thievery. I mean, you're reading the newspaper, all this stuff. Doesn't it bother you? Well, wait a minute. It's not that it doesn't bother me, but I'm not surprised. Why? Hey, everybody, before we're saved, we only think evil. If you got saved young, praise God. But if you didn't, you know what I'm talking about. The Bible's very clear, we're full of sin. And that sin, when it continues to go, the book of James says, ends in death. The fact of the matter is, when you got saved, you got delivered from that curse. You were in the corruption, you're in bondage, you had no choice. Hey, can I remind you? Listen, lost people don't know any better. That's why your kids are brats. Yeah, someone needs to tell you. Your kids are not angels. You say, what do you mean? My 3-year-old's not an angel? Really? You need me to tell you that? Why does my 3-year-old do bad? I know no one's probably told you, but they're a sinner. What? They have evil inside of them. Where'd they get it from? You. That's why you can look at a kid and say, don't touch that. And they look at you and go. You want to say, did you not hear me? Oh, they heard. And they're thinking, I'm free. No, now you're dead. You're no longer free. Yeah, well, what is it? It's that sin nature. It's the same thing you have. And although you hear truth, it's like, oh, I do wrong. Why? Before you're saved, you can't help it. Why? You have a nature that says, I'm a sinner. But oh, the day we got saved, everything changed. We got the Spirit of God that came inside. And it's not that we no longer sin, but now we have a power over sin. And corruption no longer has to rule. Now look at verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, look again, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is appointed unto them according to the true proverb that the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. He says, wait a minute. Why would you, after being delivered from pain, punishment, death, why go back? Why? Do you not understand? One of the neat things about freedom is when I got saved, I don't have freedom to sin. I have freedom from sin. Okay? Romans chapter 6, what a great chapter. The Bible says, what? Shall we continue in sin? I love that. He always says, what? Like a question. What? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Talk about liberty. What? Because you're free? You think you're free to sin? Paul says, why would you do that? Why? It would be like somebody getting out of prison, and this happens, blows my mind. But you ever hear these stories of people getting out of prison and they want to go back? Now think about this. You're in this little bitty cell. They let you out for certain periods of the day to walk, to roam, to talk to other convicted criminals. Okay? That is your life. You don't have the freedom to move. You can't go to Florida. You can't go to California. You can't go to Hawaii. You can't go to the store and buy whatever you want. You can't talk to whoever you want. I visited a prison, one of our young men the other day that was up here at Newkirk, and had a chance to go see them. And I walk in the new jail, first time I've been in there. Hopefully I'll always be on this side, praise God. But anyways, I walk in and now it's a video conference. And I go in there and I sit down and the video comes on and I'm talking and I don't know, after about 20 minutes, it starts blinking, maybe 25 minutes. And it blinks, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, whatever it was. And I said, what's that? And he goes, oh, yeah, we have to, this thing's going to shut off in whatever time it said. I think 10 minutes. 5 minutes later, it starts blinking again. Says, yeah, you got 5 minutes. 1 minute, it starts blinking. In other words, at 1 minute, our conversation was done. It doesn't matter if he had something else to say or I did. Literally, the video went off. There's a few seconds. I'm like, okay, bye-bye, click. Okay, we're done. He said, why? Well, folks, I got to go out to my car and drive home. He went back to the cell. I had arrived 2 or 3 days before that to see him, but there was a problem with what they call their pod. And so even though I was scheduled to talk to him and I sat there waiting for it to come on, he never showed up because they were in lockdown. You say, what's lockdown? Well, that's where you don't get to do what you want. They lock you down. Now, wait a minute. Who would want to go back to that? I don't think the food's that good. Never been there, but I'm just thinking. I'm thinking cafeteria food. And I remember college. That wasn't exciting. That wasn't a blessed day. Okay? It really wasn't. So I'm thinking about this. Now, wait. Who in their right mind would go into prison, get out, and go, I want to go back in? But people do that. People actually get it in their mind that it was better for me in prison than is that. Now, can I help you with this? There's something wrong with that thinking. No, something's messed up. You say, what do you mean? In other words, we can't go into long discourse, but that's not normal to want to go back into bondage. You want to be free. You should be free. And so when Paul said, what? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, wait a minute. You've been set free as a believer. You've been set free from the power of sin. Now, wait a minute. It's not that you don't sin. It's that we don't have to sin. See, before you're saved, you have no choice. You say, what do you mean? The power of sin reigns in your body, Romans chapter 6. It has dominion over you, Romans chapter 6. But when you get saved, it has no dominion. Well, why do we still sin? We choose to. And here's the amazing thing. God says, why do you choose to go back into bondage? If I set you free from alcohol, why do you go back? If I set you free from abuse, why do you go back? If I set you free from pain and destruction, wait, why do you go back? And so it's like God is standing here saying, yes, you're free now as a Christian. 1 Corinthians 6 says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. And I can see God saying, you are free to live your life and to serve me, but it's free for you to serve me. Why would you go back into sin that will destroy you? Now, Christians, can I stop here for a second? Why is it that so many believers, we get caught back up into sin? I think we forget. I think we forget about the great freedom and the great cost, the great price that was paid. And I think we forget how bad it really is. Because it's my job to remind you today, there's no way that sin is better for you than living in freedom in Jesus Christ. There's no way. And there's nothing this world has to offer you. Because everything it brings you always ends in pain and death. Why? That's what the Bible says, and the world has proved it for almost 7,000 years. And so if you've been saved, you've been set free, but all of a sudden you think the things of this world and the allurement of the world and the entertainment and the pleasures of the world are going to be so much better than living for God, you're messed up. I was preaching at camp this week and I told the young people, I'm convinced that one of the reasons young people don't serve God, they think they're losing out. No, I'm serious. And one of the reasons some of you adults don't serve God, you think you're losing out. Can I remind you of James 1:17? Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from where? Above. When I was growing up, I learned real quick, you're always kind to the people who give you stuff. I was at youth camp this week. My best friends were the camp cooks. You said, why are you nice to the camp cooks? Really, you have to ask? First thing I do when I get on the campus is we go to lunch. I walk back there and I say, thank you, thank you, thank you. You say, why'd you do that? A couple days later, they're bringing me special things. They're making me sweet tea. They're bringing me extra cookies. Why would they do that? I'm nice to them. That's bribery. Call it what you want. I don't care. I call it wisdom. In other words, they're feeding me three times a day, and so I'm going to be very nice to those people. It's wisdom. Growing up, I was always nice to mom and dad at Christmas time and birthday time. And more particularly, we were nicer to mom. Why? She gives better gifts. Dad was prone to say no. Mom always said yes. Always. If you wanted something, you always went through mom. Why? She's the nice one. Okay? Dad was iffy. Mom was always on board. You know what I'm saying? And so what happened? You knew who the gift givers were. When it comes time to birthday, you always call grandma a week before. What? Yeah, yeah. Hey, grandma, I haven't talked to you in a year. How you doing? Why are you doing that? Oh, yeah, my birthday's next week. Who knew? You say, yeah, but they catch on to that. So what? They love it. Listen, I'm helping you right now, and you don't even get it. You say, what do you mean? Always be nice to those who give good gifts. Now, seriously. You say, why? Well, because they give the best gifts. Can I help you? The greatest gift giver in the world, James 1:17, God. The greatest life provider in the world, are you ready? God. When you got saved, he didn't just save you from hell. Can I help you? He put his spirit inside of you, made you his child, and he gives you the best life possible. And Peter says, why would you go back? Why would you go back and serve self and Satan in the world that whenever it's all done, oh, you'll have fun for a little bit. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. So you'll enjoy it for a little bit, but when it's all done, it has to bring you destruction because God promised it. Or live for God. Accept Jesus Christ. Live the Christian life. What do I get for that? Romans 8 verse 6 says, life and peace. Life and peace. I'm trying to convince you of something, folks. Folks, when I come to July 4th, I like the fireworks. I know some of you don't, but you're weird. I like the cookouts. I like the food. I mean, it's great. But it's a great time for us to remember, I live in a free nation. But I also live in freedom in Jesus Christ. I'm always blown that people think that Christianity is nothing but rules and judgment. That's not biblical Christianity. You may have been around people that live that way. I'm sorry. No, seriously, I'm sorry. You may know people that it's always no, 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 no. I apologize for that. You won't find that in the Word of God. That's man's rules. You know what's neat about Christianity? It's the best life out there. No, I'm not kidding. I have a blast. I love life. Okay? The only time I'm miserable is when I decide the world's better than Christianity. And you go get involved in it for a little bit, and then you find out, you know what? This isn't as exciting as they made it out to be. But I'm telling you, living the Christian life, it's freedom. I get to go to sleep at night without guilt. Yeah, I don't have to hide things from my wife. You know, seriously, well, except the Starbucks runs. But outside of that, I don't have to hide anything else. I'm not worried about her finding something in the checkbook or finding somebody. I don't worry about it. I get to sleep at night. Very peaceful. It's a wonderful feeling. See, when you try to live right and get right with God, it's not a bondage thing. It's a freeing thing. But if you're honest, let's just be honest. If you live as a Christian in the world, you spend your time always looking over your shoulder. Always having to check your stories. Always living, you know, trying to balance both sides. That's freedom? No. Freedom is being able to live, just be honest, authentic, live for Jesus Christ. Be yourself in Jesus Christ. That's freedom. Wow. I guess I don't get why we'd ever want the world when Jesus says, I've given you liberty. And Paul says it in Galatians, and Peter says it as well. He says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He says, why? Why are you going back? That's his question. And then he gives us a couple of things. He goes in Galatians 5:13. Take a look at it one more time. He says, brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh. In other words, don't now use your freedom to do whatever you want and to sin. He goes, that's not why you were given freedom by Jesus Christ. But then he says, look at this. But by love, serve one another. I love this. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Too often we get freedom and we think freedom's for us. Yeah, preacher, I'm free. Wait a minute. You are free in Christ. Praise God. But may I remind you of the two great commandments. Number one, it's about God. Number two, it's about who else? The other person. You know what your freedom to do? Not to get involved in sin. That's a pitfall freedom. But another pitfall is that we would not love one another the way that we should. In other words, if you went to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 9 through 13, you'd find a passage of scripture that talks about not being a stumbling block to your brother. Yeah. Even though John Waterloo has freedom to live for God and to live under the bounds of the scripture and to enjoy it, number one, I don't have a freedom to sin whenever I want. But number two, I don't have the freedom to hurt somebody else just so I can live my own way. We have a lot of selfishness in Christianity. You see what he's saying, preacher? There are a lot of people who are taking their freedom and they're using it for me, 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 me. I challenge you to find that in the Word of God. You know what I see in the Word of God? I'm free to worship God and I'm free to help others. Well, what about me? Well, the world says, think of you first because no one else will think about you. That's a lie. The Bible says, think of God and others and God will think about you. You know, the most fulfilling lives out there are investing in other people. You know what we have the freedom to do? I have the freedom, yes, to worship my God, but I have the freedom to love other people. Can I challenge you to check out your selfishness? What do you mean? Really, who do you talk about most? You or God and others? Who's your life about? Is it all about what you get, what you do? Or are you investing in other people? Because really, when you stop and think about it, when you look at the Bible, Christians, I'm supposed to be about Kyle and Carla, not me. Well, when do I get to enjoy life, preacher? May I remind you that there's a God in heaven who says every good gift and every perfect gift coming from above. And he's not missing you, and he's not missing how you live. And when you put the order right and you serve God and others first, and you do that, God says, trust me, I'll take care of you. Folks, we have the freedom to love, not the freedom to hinder. And then he goes down in the very next verse, and he says, but if you bite and devour one another. He says, you have the freedom to live how you want. You have the freedom to live in sin. You have the freedom to live selfishly. Are you ready? Don't miss this. And you have the freedom to destroy one another. Do you know how churches are destroyed? You ever been a part of a church split? That's not a wonderful thing. Matter of fact, that's not something you put on your resume. I've been a part of 2 church splits. Praise God, I even led one. Straighten that church up. Do you not understand the Bible says that division is of Satan, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? And as believers, we have all this freedom to serve God. But in all this freedom to serve God, one of the dangers or one of the pitfalls of freedom is that we can actually turn on ourselves out of selfishness and destroy one another. I've been around church for a long time. One of the things I've noticed is when churches fall, they don't fall from the world and they don't fall from Satan. Churches always fall from within. Why? Christians who call themselves by the name of Jesus Christ, who begin living selfishly and in sin, and they destroy the house of God. Preacher, is there something going on right now? Not that I'm aware of. It's just in the passage. Is there something I should be worried about? Yeah, you should be worried that you're never a part of any group that divides the house of God. You said, why? Rome fell from within. Churches fall from within. Why? Because there's no power on the outside that can destroy a church. Satan cannot destroy us. The world cannot destroy us. The devil cannot destroy us, as they say. Well, who destroys us? We do. Look at what it says. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. In our freedom, as we bicker and we fight with one another and we justify our sin and we attack other people because I have freedom to do whatever I want. No one can tell me what to do. I'm my own boss, preacher. I'll do what I want. And we kill one another. You'll notice that Central Baptist Church, I'll illustrate it this way. You ever notice that we don't vote on a lot of things openly? You know why? Because you're all messed up. Have you ever tried to take 400 people and vote on something? I learned a long time ago, I've watched these churches that used to do this. And these small churches would get together and they'd vote on everything, which is a waste of time and foolishness to me. That's why, by the way, you elect 6 deacons and 8 trustees and 3 pastors that every month get together and vote on it. So there's 17 men deciding what's going to take place. So it's not just one. But we don't bring it in front of the church because everyone has a different opinion. Could you imagine if we voted on the color of the carpet? We'd have a church split right there. I don't like tan. I want blue. Well, that's what I wanted. But look what we got. You say, well, yeah, blue's the best color in the world. Everybody likes blue. You say, why do we get this? Well, the decorating committee's smarter than me. I've seen churches vote over whether to replace lights. Really? Seriously? You vote on whether to replace a light? You know, and they get in a 30-minute argument about where to buy the light bulbs. Well, I saw Lowe's, they're 10 cents off. Well, yeah, I was at Walmart. My buddy's got some in the garage we can probably get for a nickel apiece. You know, and everybody's going back and forth. I'm like, what's going on? You get enough of that over several years, and all of a sudden people are bitter and angry at each other. People are fighting with each other. And by the way, you'll never find that anywhere in the Word of God. Where they came up with that system, I have no idea. For some reason, well, that's biblical that people all get together and vote. No, it's divisive. And it gives everybody an opportunity to, are you ready, to give their opinion instead of do what's best for the house of God. And what happens? They'd bite and devour one another. You know what God says is a great warning? With all your freedom, and because you get to kind of live the way you want, one of the greatest dangers is that you'll quit loving others, you'll get involved in sin, all under the guise of freedom, and you'll actually destroy one another. Oh, I don't like the way the Francises travel all the time, to tell you the truth. So I'm just going to talk about them and their lack of commitment because they're retired now and going to eat them and eat them. That's real spiritual. That's real spiritual. I have the freedom to do that, by the way. Although it's a sin. And I can sure hurt this wonderful family and say negative things that aren't true. And I have the freedom. And the Bible says you have the freedom to say it. But just understand where it's going to take you. Where's it going to take us? You'll bite and devour one another. Your job is not to critique one another. Your job is to live for Jesus Christ. If you and I have one job in this liberty that we have, it's this. To love one another. Can I challenge us as Central Baptist Church? Number one.
take heed that you go not back into sin and you lose the very liberty that God has given you. And take heed, as you're taking care of your own sins, the only thing you need to worry about somebody else is this, is that you love them. That's it. Take care of your sins and love other people. And guess what? You'll enjoy your Christian life. But if you don't, take heed lest ye fall. And this liberty you have in Jesus Christ suddenly becomes a bondage. Suddenly becomes a pain. That's not what God designed. We're going to stop there and go to the beginning this afternoon and take a look at some of the dangers, great pitfalls that do affect us. Let's stand at this time. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the freedom we have through salvation to live for you, to serve you, to love you. But we know freedom is also a dangerous thing. There are some who use their freedom, Lord, as a cloak of maliciousness. In other words, they use it to hurt other people. They use it to get away with sin and things that they shouldn't. And they hold people at bay by saying, I'm free in Christ to do what I want. Lord, may that not be our heart. But Lord, may we come today and thank you for the freedom we have, not only as a nation, but we have through salvation. Lord, may we thank you for what you provide through that salvation. The freedom to serve you, the freedom from sin and its bondage, the freedom to love others. May we never forget these things. May this be a great reminder today, Lord. May this just be a day of thanksgiving as we thank you. For some, Lord, maybe they need to come and confess some sins, Lord. They've involved in some things they know are biblically wrong. And Lord, they think it's going to benefit their life, but in reality, it's sending them back into bondage, back into chains. Lord, may they confess those today and get back right with you before it's too late, Lord. And they end up in such a painful cycle, Lord, that it's hard to get out. Lord, thank you once again for dying on the cross and giving us great salvation. And as I close, Lord, if there's someone here today that has never put their faith in you, they've never been set free from the power of sin and its ultimate end, death and hell. Lord, may they come today and allow one of our ministers to show them from the Word of God what salvation is all about and how they can be free indeed from all the troubles of this world, all the condemnation that it brings. We thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord has spoken to you. I challenge you to come. Page 157, Jesus paid it all. What a great day just to thank the Lord for the freedom we have, whether it's a nation or in Christ, the freedom to serve him, the freedom to love others. As we sing, page 157.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thanks again for listening.